and Chrysler just isn't enough.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Bill Radke. Last week we heard about Fiat's deal with Chrysler. Today we learn the Italian carmaker is officially in talks to take over GM's European division too. Stephen Beard joins us from London. Stephen, is this a new European car giant in the making?
Indeed. If this comes off, this will be a super group, to put it mildly. Annual revenues, more than $100 billion a year. Annual sales, between 6 and 7 million cars. That would catapult Fiat up into the stratosphere, just behind Toyota and alongside Volkswagen.
It may be a super group, but we certainly have learned that big does not equal successful. How wise is this build-up?
Well, indeed. But Fiat reckons that this new group, if it comes off, could save more than $1 billion a year. Ultimately, though, this is about size. I mean, the cost of launching a new model today in the car industry is more than $1 billion. So the argument runs car companies have really got to be big to handle that kind of investment. And the boss of Fiat, Sergio Marchionne, says that when the current economic crisis is over, when the dust has settled, the world will end up with about 6 or 7 big global car companies. And he certainly seems to be determined to make sure that Fiat is one of them.
These GM talks are so far just talks. How sure a thing is this deal?
Well, there clearly are going to be quite a lot of regulatory hurdles on the way. Fiat meets with German government officials this afternoon to make the case for the deal, and they'll be talking soon to the UK government about Vauxhall here in Britain. It helps Fiat that we're in the middle of a major downturn in the car market. Governments do seem to accept that some sort of consolidation is inevitable and some job losses too. So, yes, it is possible that this deal, extraordinary as it is, could clear all the hurdles.
Stephen Beard in London, thank you.
Okay, Bill.
Here's another company building itself up. Apple Computer has been signing up microchip designers at a brisk pace. The company has not quite said so, but Joel Rose reports Apple appears to be getting into the chip business.
The first clue came last year when Apple bought up a boutique chip design firm. Since then, Apple has enlisted lots more people with microchip experience. It all suggests that the company intends to design the next generation of iPhone and iPod chips in-house.
They really are annoyed by anybody who wants to clone them. So if someone who wants to clone the iPhone, they could do so simply by using some of the same chips. If Apple owns those chips, it can stop that from happening.
Dean Takahashi writes for the Silicon Valley blog VentureBeat. He says the move has risks, too.
There's a lot of engineering costs that they're going to incur here, but they're also not going to be paying out a lot of money to those chip makers who are doing the designs right now.
If the strategy works, Takahashi says Apple could essentially declare independence from Intel, Samsung, and other chip makers. That's a big if, but with $29 billion in the bank, Apple seems well-positioned to try. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
The Boston Globe could get a shutdown notice today. The Globe's owner, the New York Times Company, has said it will close the 137-year-old paper if Globe unions don't make enough concessions. Talks are still going on past last night's deadline. Major European markets are up 1% or more this morning. London's market is closed for a holiday. Same for Japan. Other Asian markets soared today, more than 5%. Investor concerns about swine flu are easing. The Dow advanced again on Friday, up 44 points to 8,212. Investors will surely be watching Thursday's release of the government's stress tests on the big banks. Citigroup and Bank of America are insisting they are not as bad off as the government says. Still, this morning's Financial Times reports both banks are out trying to raise more than $10 billion from the financial markets.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
For decades now, we've been hearing how the Great Plains states have been losing industries, losing population. One little town in Nebraska aims to turn that around. Alex Schmidt tells us how.
The town of Ord is smack in the middle of Nebraska. It has a population of just 2,200. But here at a local convenience store, there are about 20 racks filled with magazines and brochures promoting tourism around the region. There are pictures of teenagers jet skiing on a scenic river. You can read an article about the historic fort in Ord and learn about their quaint town square. Caleb Pollard, director at the Ord Chamber of Commerce, says these days a $60 all-inclusive wine tasting near Ord is more attractive to big city folks than that two-week holiday in Europe.
It's quirky and it's different, too. I mean, how many people can say that they went out and went wine tasting in the sandhills of central Nebraska?
But tourism can only bring in so many dollars. One of the real challenges to a community like this is population decline and brain drain. Ord has created incentives for new businesses, like leasing land for just a dollar an acre. And the town has a network to let people know, using email newsletters, a blog, even a Facebook page.
You know, out of sight, out of mind, inside in mind type of thing.
25-year-old Luke Kavorek left Ord for college, and those newsletters convinced him to move back. Many of his friends are considering doing the same, but there's one thing holding them back. Not enough women.
I know, like one kid, and he wants to move to Ord in the worst way, but he's going to stay in Omaha until he finds a girl and then try and move back.
It could take a while before people like Kavorek move to Ord en masse. Will Lamb has studied small-town innovation at the University of North Carolina. He says the time it takes can vary widely.
To me, it depends on what the asset that the community is trying to leverage for economic development is and how easy is it to turn that asset into some real value.
Lamb says it took several decades for Branson, Missouri to turn itself into a country music mecca, but it took just a couple of years for the town of Scotland Neck in North Carolina to reimagine itself as an outdoor recreation destination. In Ord, Nebraska, I'm Alex Schmidt for Marketplace.
Let us know how you plan to thrive amid the fallout when you visit us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.